Welcome to Raising Your Spirits. Our hope is to help you make positive changes by providing guided messages from spirit. Tuning forks, crystals, and distance healing are how we pass those messages from spirit to you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy your vibrational growth with us. Your host for this version of Raising Your Spirits, Tony Ginnis.
Well, thanks everybody for coming to this week's edition, talking a little bit about universal flow. And what really does that mean? We hear about universal flow, but we want to give some really solid examples and different things of how universal flow works in our everyday life. Why is it that everything seems so easy for some people and other people it's so difficult? And so it came down to it. I was looking at this one older movie that I saw. And I saw a leaf in the water, and it was just floating down the stream. I was thinking, wouldn't that be great to have that kind of letting things go to such a point that other things can just take you down the flow? We don't have to manifest anything. Nothing is expected of us. Everything seems to be harmonious. Things are growing around us. You know, and wouldn't it be nice to be like this type of leaf, but work our lives so we have this ease? And why is everything so difficult? So we're going to cover that today and give you some solid examples of how you could start incorporating some of this ease from the hardship that you're actually experiencing and what the difference is. Because, you know, we didn't come into this world to make things grow. It's a hit on your ego. A lot of people, they want to save the planet, save the birds, save the whales. We're not doing any of that. That's not why we came in, as harsh as that might sound, because we are free-flowing beings. Everything that we do, our natural state, is to be in non-resistance, like this leaf in a stream that's going down and not doing anything, just hands off the handlebars, wings spread, and you enjoy the ride. And it's so difficult to apply that to everyday life. And we hear this all the time when people come in for sessions and readings and so on. Why is it so difficult, Tony? And with all the people that are asking, Spirit is listening. And so this was the real cause for this particular class for today, making it so that we think that we're coming to this earth to make things grow, to make things happen. We're not doing any of that. In fact, if we were to take all the worms, all the bugs off this planet, if they were to die today and not return, within 18 months to 2 years, there would be no life on this planet, including humans. They are such an integral part of our ecosystem. It's food for millions of creatures, that other things, and everything grows from it. This is where it happens when we look at our contribution to this. Because if we were to die, the world would be fine. They would actually prosper very well. It would flourish very well. One of the things is that this planet had to be convinced for us to be on this earth. The creator, universe, actually has selected this planet as a training ground, as a boot camp sort of thing. And all that we're supposed to do in terms of growth is to grow ourselves, is to grow the inner part of you, your soul, is to grow inside and to help other people grow as well. And the planet knew very well that they were going to accept us as inhabitants or as visitors on this rock, that there was going to be some impact. Because if you go to, I'll just show you a quick example about impact. If you go to Egypt and where the pyramids are and the Sphinx and all those relics, there's no way that you could just jump on those stairs, and that's what it is. The pyramids is a series of stairs going all the way up. There is no way that they would let you on there. There are signs everywhere. Please do not touch. or put your foot on the rock? Well, we would say, well, it's a rock. I mean, my one foot is not going to make a big difference. And that may be true. But if they were to let everybody do that, then there would be millions upon millions of feet and hands touching it, meaning erosion. It would actually deteriorate faster with us than the 2,000 years it's been aging from the sun, the wind, the rain, and so on. So we are making an impact. Then the question comes back, then what are we here to do? We're here to do two things. The first thing is self-care. And that's in five different levels. Physically, self-care. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself looking good. Emotional, mental, spiritual, energetic. Anything that happens, trauma or anything like that, take care of it. It's self-care on many levels. The second thing we're supposed to do is to give love to everything you do and everyone you meet. That's it. Those are the tasks that we need to do. So when you live your life with intention, and that's really where this comes into, the first part of really caring for yourself is giving intention to everything you do. Stop wasting your time with people that are just talking nonsense, that are talking you out of great ideas, that are talking you out of feeling good. So sometimes you'll ask someone how they're doing and they give you such a negative stance on the world and everything else. And those news are going to be there anyway. And it's good to a point to know about the current events. But all those are changing all the time. What is constant in your body? How do you feel? What is this thing that you have? So when you accept your life from the way it is, then you're just accepting whatever's coming to you in default. Instead of leading your life and making it so this is what I want and this is how I'm going to intend to do it. So in other words, you're the driving force in your life. And that's part of taking care of yourself. Because those people that are just accepting life the way it comes, you know, they could get up at 8 o'clock in the morning or 11 or 3 in the morning, it doesn't matter, to see what the world is doing. They're living their life by default based on what other people are changing the world, and they're sort of riding along with it. Yeah, we were never meant to do that. That is a human decision that we're doing there. So when we look back at that, who is actually in charge of you? In the beginning, of course, it's your parents. Your parents are telling you all the things, and in the beginning, when we're young, they're telling you all the things that we don't want to do. Clean your room. Do your homework. Did you brush your teeth? And all those things, constantly they're after you for. Or that wasn't very nice, the way you talked to that lady when we were in the supermarket. Oh, I didn't think that was a big deal. That's not the way we do things. You got to be nice. Just because somebody bumped into you, it could have been an accident, you don't know. In other words, be nice. And we are always told to do those things. So who is in charge when you become an adult? Well, what Spirit says is, for most people, their bodies are in charge of their lives. And let me just paint you a little picture on how the chain of command works. Now, in the military, they have what's called the chain of command. So you've got your general, then you've got your several other high-level people, then your sergeants, and then you got your privates. Those are the main ones, okay? So the general in this case of our life is the universe. Everything revolves around the universe. Now, whether you believe things or not, or whether you believe the higher power, it doesn't matter. They don't need your approval for what things are. It just happens the way they are. There's a beautiful mathematical order in things. And what is creating those orders? What's creating the flowers and the seasons and all the things that are happening on this world? And it just happens without our involvement. There's something at play there. There's a universal order to things. The universe is in power for everything. On this planet, our mind is our sergeant. That's the next level down. So when we get an inspiration in our mind, in our brain, whether through dreams or whether it's something that you've always wanted to do, then your mind is in charge. This is what I want to do. And so what ends up happening there is you're taking an idea, which is an ether, which doesn't exist. It's a concept in your head, and you want to create it so that's reality, so it's in your hands. It needs your body to do that. Then your mind tells your body, this is what we need to build. We need to build an ark, or we need to build a home, we need to build a new invention, whatever the idea is. But the mind gives the body that order. Now, here's the difference between the way those work universally and the way the military works. In the military, if the sergeant decides he's not going to listen to the general, he could be court-martialed and thrown in jail. The private is the same. If he doesn't do what he's told by orders, same thing would happen. In our life, it's all about choice. The universe says, this is what you are destined to do. And the mind could say, nah, I don't feel like it. Then there's no repercussions other than you'll just have something missing in your life and you don't know what it is. So there's no real repercussions other than it's something that you have to face down the road. In other words, 20 years later, if you can last that long, of something constantly on your mind that you need to do and you don't do it, and you finally say, I should have done that a long time ago. So it's going to be something of a regret. I think that's going to put yourself in your jail, I guess, if that's the case. But then the brain, when it is finally convinced that, okay, let's do this, gives that order to physical. And the physical says, nah, I don't feel like it. That's like a five-year-old child trying to negotiate with a five-year-old. What would happen to a child if you let the child raise itself? In other words, they can have ice cream for breakfast. If they don't want to bathe, that's okay. Keep your room untidy. You can treat your mom or dad like crap. We're going to be fine as long as we don't hurt your feelings, okay? What would happen to that child when it becomes an adult? Would it be respecting other people? If it treated their mom and their father that disrespectfully, do you think that would change as an adult? I don't know. You can ask that question. But that's what happens with the body as well. The body is a container of all older, longer-term patterns that collects in your body. So in other words, if you want to start working out, and let's say for a few years you were working out, you were playing soccer, you were doing hockey in the weekends, and you were very active in your younger years. And then something happened where, okay, yes, you went for a job, but there are still people that play hockey. There are still people that do soccer practice, and they're in their 50s and 60s. But some people will say, no, I'm a little tired. I won't do it right now. I'm just going to skip a week. I'll go next week. And then the week turns into a month. The month turns into 6 months and then a year. And then it's a pattern. And then when the mind says to the body, okay, this is what I want you to do, that because of that pattern, it just says, nah, it's too much trouble. I fell in love and I fell out of love, didn't work out, so I'm not sure if I want to meet anybody. Or something happened that it's just too much trouble, it's not worth it. But of course, from a soulful perspective, love is an experience that you have. It's not something the other person has. If they left, that's okay. It just meant you were loving in that time and you decided that you didn't want to continue. But when you say, I don't think it's worth the trouble, then you're looking at, well, I don't think the rub is worth the shine. I guess they could call it. So then it becomes chronically lazy. So longer term patterns, you're thinking, okay, well, how does that build up? How does long-term patterns that are negative build up? Because in the beginning, I'm very excited. I want things to go. I want to look good on the beach. I want to be kind to people. And how would that work? Well, it works in small ways. As we talked about in previous classes, sometimes our compromises, very, very small compromises over a long period of time, it's amazing how our ideals and even our core values start to change. People that think that family is very, very important in the beginning, fast forward 15 years, they're not talking to their grandparents. They're not talking to their mom or dad. They're not talking to their brothers because somebody dropped the guacamole and nobody owned up to it. And they don't talk for 15 years. Something, whatever. I've seen of cases where it's just ridiculous, the excuse. But because of that, your ideal, your core value has changed because of something. And it's because of compromises. When you say things like, you're going to criticize yourself. So as soon as you stop criticizing yourself and criticizing others, as soon as you stop finding fault with yourself and fault with others, that is the day that you're going to stop being in your own way. Because before you're disrespectful to anyone else, you're going to be disrespectful to yourself. Never have you ever heard that a person respects themselves, but they're disrespectful to other people. That doesn't even make sense, right? So the way it works is the reason someone's disrespectful to other people and they're mean or they're whatever is because they're mean to themselves. They're stabbing themselves. They're criticizing and finding faults in themselves. So of course they're going to see faults in you because it's the same pattern. The ones that see the same thing will see the same thing. Okay? Live your life the way that you want to live and you want to leave this world. In other words, you live your life the way that you want to leave this life. For instance, let's say if I told you you had 6 months to live. Doctor gives you a diagnosis for whatever and he says, based on our thing, you've got 6 months. That's on the outside. That's all we can give you. How many people would make radical changes in their life after getting a news like that? And studies show, that majority of them would quit their job. And some would say, why on earth would they do that? Because the people that are working are doing mindless jobs. It's not them. And now that they have an expiry date on their life, they want to do things that are them. And that's when they become singers, that's when they become skydiving people, that's when they do crazy things. And you hear this all the time. Because now, time is limited. Before, it's comfortable. So you get lazy, if I could use that word, okay? In a respectful way, of course. We get lazy in our thinking. Our body gets lazy. And so we just sort of are in this default, what the world is doing the next day. But as soon as we have an expiry, this is it. Well, I can't leave this earth being a government worker or working for a coffee shop, or because I never wanted to do it anyway. I've always wanted to be a dancer or a singer or an artist. I'm taking this time to do that. I'm going to take all the money out of my bank. I'm doing what is passionate for me. That's what happens. You're living your life the way that you want to leave. In other words, you are taking responsibility. You are that source energy that you're taking responsibility for yourself. And, you know, if you can see in you what spirit sees in you, you'd be absolutely amazed. Because when we hear this all the time in posts, and it is true that when you came onto this earth, you came on with nothing missing. You came with everything that you need. And what does that mean? Well, let me give you some statistics. Our body is made up of four elements. If you want a little bit of science, our body is made up of four elements: hydrogen, oxygen, carbon, and nitrogen. The universe, in all its glory and all everything that they know about it, is made up of hydrogen, oxygen, carbon, and nitrogen. It's the same. The same thing that's in the universe is exactly in us. And studies have showed, scientists have even seen and looked even deeper into our DNA. And when they look deep, deep into our DNA pockets, they see these clumps of it looks like storage containers. And when they looked inside of them, they're basically, it's a hard drive. I mentioned this in one of my previous classes. When they looked in these, it has amazing capacity for storage of information and data. And what they did was they, with mathematical and different calculations, they looked at it as 1 gram, which is very, very small. 1 gram of our DNA can hold 700 terabytes, which is amazing. The average body, when they calculated it, the average human body on this earth can hold 13.5 billion years of data. Now, that's just not data from our experience. That's data on the universe, what the other galaxies are doing, everything that's happening in the universe now. If we were to clump it all in one, would be 13.5 billion years. And that's exactly how old the universe is, from latest calculations, is 13.5 billion years. Is that a coincidence? You can decide. You can meditate on that. But those are the facts. The other fact is, if the universe is in a balanced organism, it is like a living, breathing organism. In other words, if a fraction of 1% the gravitational stronger, it would suck it all in. It would turn into a ball. If it's a little weaker, it would fly apart and explode. So in other words, the universe is only as strong as it needs to be. Not too much, not too little, exactly what it needs. And some energy is controlling that, is balancing that. So universe is all about balance. That's what we're all about. I love one of the quotes from David James Lee gave some time ago, and it said, "Be mindful of your self-talk, because it is a conversation with the universe." In 1991, scientists discovered something very unique in the heart. They were looking at several clumps of cells, and it was very interesting because everyone has this series of clumps, and it was different than the masses throughout the other part of the heart. It was this one part of the heart, and they looked at it, and it's roughly 40,000 cells. And as they looked deeper at it, it was almost like brain cells, because they looked at the brain, our brain, and these cells in the heart were very similar. And they are not only similar, but they think, decode, and they act, they process everything the same as the brain does. But the difference is, it does it independently. So in other words, when an action happens and the brain didn't see it, they had tests for this, then the heart would have various impressions, it would have various reactions. They did the same to the brain, and it would have another reaction. These were very different. So we actually have a brain in our heart. So that means every single experience that you go through, doesn't matter what it is, when you're walking your dog, you're in traffic, even right now, hearing me right now, it is being registered in two places. It's registering in your brain, with your listening, hearing, decoding, and thinking. It's also registering in your heart in a different way, because the heart doesn't work on words. It works on feelings and impressions and so on, but it's in different places. So everything that happens, it's in two locations. So what happens when we go through a trauma is much the same thing. When we go through a trauma where somebody leaves us, or there's a trauma in some way where you saw your family in a fire perish, whatever it is, when you saw that, we go through years of therapy, getting our brains to understand what happened, trying to make peace with it, and well, whether through medication or through psychologists and psychiatrists and so on, so our brain can make peace with whatever happened. But the reason why sometimes we feel it's incomplete is because we've only addressed the trauma here in the brain and not here in the brain of your heart. That's always missed. and that doesn't work on words. That's a different level of healing. But we didn't know this up until recently, and I know it was about 20 years ago, but still, it is valid to the point where we need to understand more about what we are seeing and how we can take care of ourselves. This knowledge alone is massive, massive for some people, because they've always tried to address their trauma from their head, from what they saw, and okay, I'm kind of okay, and I forgive. But then there's still something missing, and this is the link that we're seeing right now. The link that the trauma itself happened also in your heart, and that's not being addressed, all right? And speaking of trauma, I saw the other day on one of the posts, I wrote down word for word what the guy said in the post. It was an artist, and he drew a picture of a beautiful horse and a rider in pencil, and it was really good. I thought it was really good. Now, looking at it, and it was great. And I was just about to turn the page, get to the next one, and then I read the caption. I wrote it down, so because I'm not making this up. It says, I didn't just spend 150 hours on this pencil drawing to get only 16 likes and no shares. Please, please, please like my drawing. So when I looked down after reading this, he had 14,000 likes after begging for approval. Okay? Then, you know, the way the spirit had worked this out was a genius, because less than 24 hours later, another artist I saw, and this was his caption. Over the last several years, I have done some amazing drawings, and I want to show you some of my favorite. I hope you like it. And they were just as good. And I looked down, 48,000 likes. And he didn't have to get on his hands and knees to beg for it. So what does that mean? 14,000 low energy sympathy likes is still not enough for that guy who wanted it. Does that make sense? Because he's got 14,000. And I was actually just about to like it. And Spirit says, don't you dare disable this person, because one more like is not going to make any difference. He has 14,000 likes and he's still empty. Where if you would have given one like to a person that loves his art, he would be so grateful. That you do a like for. But don't add your love to the 14,000 sympathy in there. So I thought that was interesting. When we start living our life with love and with passion, there's a whole different world opens up. Stop getting people to feel sorry for yourself. And Spirit's a little firm on this one, because sometimes we just think that nobody is hurting as much as we are hurting. No one's trauma is as more than my trauma. No one's hardship is worse than my trauma. If you have that perception that you are the worst that has ever happened, then any sympathy that you get is going to be empty. Rather than saying, hey, everything's fine, everything's cool, I'm working through it, I'm finding my way. And usually people that are full of love, that have a heart of love, you never know. You have to almost beat it out of them. How are things going? Because they never talk. Everything's inside. It's one thing to have something inside, you don't want to share it to get people to feel sorry for yourself. But it's something else when you just keep it inside for everybody. You're not even addressing it yourself. So how do we address this stuff? The first thing we have to do is it's an art to deal with trauma. To deal with people that don't care whether you live or die, that we have to be okay with saying, look, they are going through their shift. This is what I'm going through in mine. And how can I be a better loving person and I don't expect anything back in return? You know, the Psychological Association of America is having a hard time now with men because of the recent shifts. Mainly because they're being told that being masculine is toxic. Being a man, is not something that you want. It's actually bad for your mental health. True, I'm not making this up. I read it the other day. And they're wondering how to do it. So they're looking at medication and things. And it's like, because men, usually, that's their main issue, is they don't talk. They keep everything inside and they just trudge on. They are so awesome. They just keep trudging on. Whatever happens, and they get crapped on at work. Everyone just expects so much from them, and they just keep trudging on. And many of them, that's why male suicides are up by an astronomical amount. It was 80% on the last thing I read. It's probably about the same, some difference in some countries. But it all depends on what is expected from these people. When you look at depression, how can we turn everything around so that the trauma is something that you can work with? Because we know one thing. If you bury it, it's always going to be coming up, and it's always going to be a sliver in your finger. How many times have you had a sliver in your finger and says, ah, that's okay, it's no big deal? And everything you touch, you put your shirt on, it's always got your attention because it hurts. It hurts. And you're 10,000 times bigger than this little sliver, but now it has your attention because it hurts. There are ways to remove a sliver. How do we remove trauma? How do we relabel something? We talked about relabeling in one of the classes, and that's looking at the same situation that you were in, let's say an accident. And let's say it was a horrific accident and you had some, your legs were busted up and you couldn't work for a while, and like you were in a real bad condition for a long time, thinking that the world is against you because of this accident. Now, how does that make you feel? What kind of a traumatic situation is that? And we sort of looked at the suggestion, and the Spirit was suggesting, instead of looking at it as you had the accident and this accident happened to you, you were a victim, you were involved in an accident. You were at the wrong place at the wrong time, not your fault, it just happened. See, even the energy of that is different. So when you carry around a different labeling of the same event, that is one way to relabel a trauma in a different way. What did I learn from this? What was my experience? And what are my lessons now? Rather than saying, I'm worth nothing because this happened to me, I'm done. Sorry, that doesn't work. At least that's not the way Spirit sees it. And those that want to keep working on it, that's fine. But all they're saying is, don't let the world tell you how you should feel. Don't let the world tell you that, oh, by now you should be out of this. That happened 20 years ago. What are you doing? Come on, shake it off or something. Don't let the world do that. You take as long as you need to get this to get through. Because the moment you ask, okay, I was involved with this, how do I get past it? And now that you know that it's registering in both the brain and the heart, because they both have brains, maybe we could look at this in a different way. And how do we be proactive? One way is to start moving. Our culture over the last 100 years, our activity has plummeted over the last 20, 30 years, especially the last 10. With COVID and everything, we're all at home. And granted, there was a lot of things that had to get locked down. But here we are, and now we're at a point that we do have more freedom. But we still see people not moving. There's still a bit of a delay in getting out there to walk the dog longer, to go walk in the bush, to get to hold the nature, to get back to the gym, to do something. One of the things that was read in one article is that our society is weak because we're not moving. Because in the Stone Age, they had to move all the time to find food, to get fire going, and there was activity all the time. And we don't even have to go back to the Stone Age to find out where there was no depression. Look at any farmer that's going through it. That's why they gotta get up at 3 or 4 in the morning, because there is so much work to feed the animals, to make everything work, that there's not enough time in a day. Not a lot of depression on a farm. I don't know if you've ever been on a farm. I was on a farm for a couple of years, just helping out a friend. And that was, I came home to sleep. So I didn't do the whole nine yards, of course. But to bale hay and to just to work in the farm, you had that pride. And there was no mental illness because there was so much work to do. You want to work? Okay, here you go. Either you had to clean or there's always something to do. One strategy is to get yourself busy. Get yourself in a project and just get it done. If you're waiting for something to manifest, and in the meantime, while you're waiting, okay, let's get something going. Let's start, keep creating. We can always change things halfway if something else manifests, something better comes along, right? I have no problem working at a Tim Hortons or some place where I need to work if that's what I need to do. And then all of a sudden I'll win $2 million. Then my life will change dramatically. But in the meantime, there's no sense in just staying home waiting for that $2 million to come. And I'm doing nothing in the meantime. Okay? Find a way that you could deal with your stuff. They're saying another word, but I'm sort of filtering it, coming out in human form. But find a way to work with your stuff. Yes, we are going through our own definition of trauma, and we're not belittling it. Please don't misunderstand. The spirit is not saying what you went through is not important or is not a big deal. It is a big deal. But they're also saying if it is that much of a big deal, why aren't we addressing it? Why aren't we going to get your head straight and go to the professional energy workers to get your heart straight? And you could do this yourself through meditation, through your heart. It just takes longer. But if you get somebody trained in whatever country you're in, you can get that help. But you just need to make it so that I am looking for this type of person. And they will show up. How many times have you heard, when the student is ready, the teacher appears? When the person that wants to get healed, the healer appears. But if you don't think you need help, you want to do it all by yourself, you want to drive this bus, the universe, as powerful as they are, they will let you drive. Good luck. Then you become the flow. Then this universal flow that is absolute will not apply to you. It'll just be whatever happens. Then you'll have to look at it. I hope this was something that you could look at. But one thing I wanted to talk about here just before we start our meditation. Someday, someone, and wouldn't it be nice if somebody would do this for you? If someday somebody would talk about you, and it wouldn't it be great if they could say something like this to you? Be careful of this person. And they're pointing to you. Cherish them. They have overcome all obstacles in their life that was designed to destroy them. So you take care of yourself. You find a way of how to take care of whatever it is that is constantly bothering you. If it is a self-love thing and you know what it is, burying it is not going to be the answer. It just means it's going to be floating somewhere down the road and you'll have to revisit it again. If you're still having the same issue, sometimes we'll get people, we'll do a past life regression, and in five or six lifetimes, we see they've always had a self-love issue. Like they always don't think that they're a big deal, that they don't think they love themselves. And they're going from one life to the next life, and you're just passing the baton over to your next body. Imagine what it would be like if in this life you decide, I'm going to take care of this once and for all. I'm going to stop this baton, and I'm going to deal with it right now. Then the remaining part of your life and the life after will be peaceful. And so you have to ask yourself, is that worth it? So in this meditation, we're going to show you that one meditation that we did last week on the moonlight meditation. It's a Archangel Haniel meditation, and it's a calming moonlight. And in this one, I want you to, it's not so much a meditative where you get to close your eyes, and you can do that if you want, but I want to show you what the main thrust of this is. You look at the moonlight, and from the moonlight, I want you to visit all the things that you heard today. Everything that you heard, maybe some things you've heard already, or maybe some new stuff. How has it impacted you? So you could process it. Ask yourself, what do I need to know now with this new information? And then things will come up. Those that want to sit back and they're in a futon and they would rather lie back with their eyes closed, all spirit is saying, you could do that. Just envision the last moon that you saw, okay, and just hold on to that moonlight and the sounds will do the rest. So it'll still work, but you just make sure you have that envision of the moonlight in your thoughts as you're lying down. Those that are having a hard time visualizing, then just watch the moonlight. It's an open-eyed meditation, all right? Get yourself comfortable. Take a nice deep breath. I want you to breathe in the color orange, this beautiful tangerine color. Pretend you're around an orange orchard and there's spores of orange everywhere, and you're breathing that in. And then when you exhale, I want you to exhale emerald green. Okay, because this is from the heart. So breathe in orange. And when you exhale, exhale green. Just focus on your breathing for now. And then watch the moonlight. And let's see where this goes.
thank you for listening to Raising Your Spirits. If there is a subject you would like to hear in a future podcast or would like to book a session with Tony, reach out to his Facebook group at Genis Shields Natural Healing Center or group tuning classes with Tony on his online virtual weekly classes. The YouTube channel is Suzanne and Tony 17. That's Suzanne and Tony, all one word and the number 17. And the website is lovehigherself.com. Until next time, namaste.
Hey there. If you like this show, I want you to text someone right now that you think needs to hear this episode. If they are going through a tough time and they need some inspiration, let them know by sending them a link to this podcast. Let me know how it goes to see if it helped them. All the best.